Good morning. We're going to stop the music for a second. We're going to continue in worship. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's so great to see you all this morning. And thank you for joining us on our live stream this morning. We have a quick video that we're going to show. So let's watch that together. Thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we put our hope in you this morning, Lord. We put our hope in you, not in the year, not in any one thing, but we put our hope in you, Jesus. And we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. So we just thank you and praise you. stop working. Even when I don't see it, you work. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your
you're right.
Lord God, you are great and mighty. High above all other, there is no one like you. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you that it's your breath in our lungs. It's your life in us that gives us purpose. And Lord, we just want to turn our attention to you this morning. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus as we are listening to this message, as we are fellowshipping. And Lord, would you just fix our heart and tune our ears to hear your voice this morning? We love you and we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. We lift up those who are struggling this week. We lift up those in our church who are sick. We're having a difficult week, Jesus. Would you comfort them? Would you provide for them? Use us to be your hands and feet, we pray. We just look to you in hope, Lord, and we just thank you so much for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, great to see you all this morning. I'm Keith. I'm the youth pastor here. So we got some announcements here, some exciting things going on in the life of the church. Let's see if we got some slides maybe for them. But all of our programs are restarting back up, so that's very exciting. We have Heart to Heart. We have youth group. I heard the youth pastor is pretty cool, so come to that. We have our all-church Bible study, and so some of those things are going to be virtual. Some of those things are going to be in person. Check the website, and you'll be able to see which are which. We also have a video for one of Rick's classes, the Truth Project, I believe. So let's show that here.
We're about to take what could well be the most important tour of your life. It's going to be a worldview tour. We are going to turn and gaze upon the face of God. What should we hear? What should we see? You are going to be amazed. Why did Jesus come into the world? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? From time to time, we're going to bring some experts into the classroom.
The world is reeling with uncertainty. It's almost like it's in the air.
Truth is fundamentally about who God is.
We're challenged to either confront culture, to abandon it, or transform it.
Is our culture filled with lies? This is a battle of worldviews.
Do you really believe that what you believe is really real?
Evil. Why is it in the world?
Who is God?
Who is God? Who is man? What is the world's view of work? God is a God of social order. We're going to look at economics, art, media, music, and literature in this sphere of labor. We're going to look at the area of philosophy and ethics. Everything is about relationships. There is no direction you can travel in which God has not spoken.
I'm Scott Koenigsaker, and I'm the lead pastor here at Squim Community Church. And it's awesome to be able to be a part of the team that Keith put together this morning for this worship service. Let's look at the Bible. Hebrews 8, 31 through 39, and this is the NIV translation. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against us, those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is always interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Should trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has called us and loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither anything present nothing in the future, not any power, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for today. Thank you that you're here with us right now. God, I want to thank you that you're with us no matter what year it is, no matter what the time. And we just want to thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so the new year is upon us. It is 2021. And I got to say, in a lot of ways, 2021 is starting off pretty well. I mean, the Seahawks are in the playoffs. The Steelers are in the playoffs. Didn't hear any woos there, but that's okay. And the Patriots are not in the playoffs. So, yeah, there we go. There we go. Some good applause there. So in a lot of ways, 2021 starting off pretty well. So it's very exciting to be in this new year. And I just want to see a show of hands. Who has a New Year's resolution? Anybody out there got a New Year's resolution, something you're thinking about? So a couple people out there. And what I think is so great about New Year's is it's a time where we have to think about how we want to better our lives, right? We make changes. We say, I want to go to the gym more. I want to, do some more work to my house. I want to do a lot of different things. And what I love about the New Year, it's a time for self-reflection. That's really what I want to talk about today, to think about our relationship with ourselves. And I want to talk about why our relationship with ourselves is so important and some biblical truths about ourselves. So your connection with yourself, it's not something we always talk about, but I would say that with the exception of your relationship with God, it's the most important relationship you have in your life. It's so important, first, because the amount of time you spend with yourself. Like, you're with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No other relationship can even come close to that amount of time. And second, it's a relationship you're always going to have. We've all had friendships or work colleagues or family connections that were really close for a season, but then over time has faded. Other relationships in our life, they're going to come, they're going to go, but your relationship with yourself is always going to be there. You could go to the farthest island in the world, and you would be there. You go to the deepest part of the ocean, and you're going to be there. You go to the most isolated and desolated city in the world, Forks, Washington, and you would still be there. Other relationships might fade, but you're always going to be with you. There's a quote that I love that I think really sums this up well, and it says, "You're always with yourself, so you might as well enjoy the company." You're always with yourself, so you might as well enjoy the company. And finally, your relationship with yourself, it's so important because it shapes how you interact with the world. What you believe about yourself determines so much about your life. What you believe about your capabilities determines the choices you make. What you believe about your personality decides the friendships you build. What you believe about your worth determines your ability to persist in difficult times. What you believe about yourself affects your actions, and it creates the life you live. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say you had an experience that led you to believe that you were not good enough. Maybe you had parents who were really critical of you. Maybe you had a teacher who didn't believe in you. But for whatever reason, you've come to this belief that you're not good enough. And that means you're going to probably be pretty insecure about your abilities. You're going to probably be constantly comparing yourself to other people. You're probably going to have a lot of negative self-talk and be very critical of your failings. And this belief that you're not good enough is going to play itself out in your actions. You'll always doubt your work, so that's going to hurt your job performance. You'll push people away that love you because you'll say, well, if I don't love me, how could anyone else love me? And all this pain you've created in your work and your family relationships, it's going to reinforce the belief that you're not good enough. You'll see how you haven't done well in your job, or you don't have a lot of family connections, or close friendships, and you'll be like, ooh, that's because I'm not good enough. If on the flip side, though, let's say you've had positive experiences. Let's say you've had people that have encouraged you, who have believed in you. So you get this healthy amount of confidence in yourself. That means you're going to have a better grasp on your abilities. It means that you're going to take more challenges and chances because you believe that you're capable. And when you fail, you'll still be okay because you know that failure doesn't affect your value. You'll be able to form strong bonds with other people because you're not entering relationships with insecurities, with anxieties. And your successes from work and your positive relationships with other people, that's going to reinforce the belief that, you know, you have value, that you are capable. So the main takeaway from this example is that your beliefs create your actions, and your actions reinforce your beliefs. Your beliefs and actions, they create this cycle that drives your life. That's why it's so important to take time for self-reflection, to think about how we really view ourselves, because that's going to determine the life we live. And I think to some degree we all have positive views of ourselves. We all have those things that are leading us into a more healthy life. But to some degree, we all have negative views of ourselves, untrue views of ourselves that create these cycles, these patterns of pain. And I believe we all have a skewed view of ourselves because of sin. None of us has a perfect view of ourselves because, quite frankly, none of us are perfect. Our imperfections is what makes our view of ourselves imperfect. And that's why it's so important to go to the Bible, because it's here where we find out who we truly are. It's who we can get the right and accurate and healthy views of ourselves to ultimately live the best lives possible. There's a lot of great truths in the Bible to cling to, a lot of things that are going to help us move forward and be better people. But there's two that I want to focus on today. And these are two truths that if you truly believe them, it's going to remove a lot of patterns of pain out of your life. So the first truth is that God made you special. God made you special. The author of Psalm 139 states that God created each person uniquely. That means you are one of a kind. You're not worthless. You're not insignificant. You're a masterpiece. And God gave each of us different gifts and abilities, different talents and hopes and dreams, different purposes and passions. And look, maybe your talents don't match up with other people's. Maybe you don't look like those around you. Maybe your passions aren't the same as your family members, but it's your differences that make you special. It's your differences that make you able to do things that no one else can do. And by recognizing this truth that God made you special, it removes every source of envy and jealousy out of our lives. This truth lets us stop measuring ourselves against other people. It lets us stop wondering how we compare against our siblings. It lets us stop worrying if our neighbors have better jobs than we do. Knowing that God created you special lets us stop focusing on what we don't have and instead lets us be grateful on what we do have. Let me give you some example of how this works. Maybe you're not the most book smart. Maybe facts and dates, they just bore you. But instead of getting down on yourself because you weren't the best student or you weren't the best academic, instead, focus on the areas you are smart in. I'm a firm believer that everybody is intelligent in something. So maybe you're super gifted in building and repairing things. Maybe you're very intelligent in your relationships with other people. You have that emotional intelligence. So if you're not book smart, don't say, well, I'm not smart and I'm no good. Instead, focus on the areas you are smart in, that you are gifted in. You know, maybe you don't have the same high-paying job as your neighbor. And it might be easy to view yourself as not good enough, as, oh, you know, my neighbor, he's got this job, and I just don't get as big of a paycheck. But instead of focusing on that, focus on that maybe the job you do have lets you get home to have dinner with your family. It lets you see your kids' soccer games. Your job lets you enjoy the relationships you have in life. All this to say that God has blessed us in different ways. And our view of ourselves is so much healthier when we focus on what we've been given, not on what we lack. When we focus on what makes us special and how God has created us uniquely. So first truth, God made you special. And second truth, God loves you. God loves you. And God loves you not because you've worked hard enough. God loves you not because you've done enough things. God loves you not because you have this degree or that degree. God loves you for you. There's a quote that I think really illustrates this well, and it's one of my favorite quotes. It says, "You're a human being, not a human doing." You're a human being, not a human doing. See, a lot of times we want to think our value comes from what we do, right? We rush from this task to the next task. We have schedules filled to the brim. Even when we're at home, we're constantly in motion, checking our emails, our status updates. But our value doesn't come from who we do. Our value doesn't come from what we do. Our value comes from who we are. It comes because we are created and loved by God. And this source of love removes every pride from our lives. You know, we didn't earn this love. It's a free gift. And on the flip side, this love also removes every source of insecurity from our lives. If the God of the universe, the one who created life, the one who put the billions of stars in the sky, the one who spoke everything into existence and is currently holding all life together, if that God loves you and calls you worthy, what do you really have to be insecure about? Scott read one of my favorite scripture passages, Romans 8, and it says that God's love for us is constant. Paul says nothing, not sickness, not sadness, not tribulation, not trouble, not disease nor death, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. God created you, he died for you, and he guides you. And it's this love that shows us that no matter what life throws at us, we are cared for. This anchors us to the truth that we are worthy of love. You're created special, and you're loved. And when we embrace these beliefs about ourselves, it should change how we act. If we believe that God created us special and God cares for us, then we really ought to take time to care for ourselves. And maybe this phrase of caring for yourself, it sounds kind of weird, sounds kind of wrong to you, like, ooh, Keith, caring for myself, that sounds a little bit selfish. And for sure, we need to not go overboard on our focus on ourselves. But a healthy life and a good spiritual walk does mean we take some time to replenish ourselves, to care for ourselves. You see, as Christians, we're supposed to care for the things God cares about, right? So we care about justice because God cares about justice. We care about forgiveness because God cares about forgiveness. And we care about ourselves because God cares for us. I don't think the God who created us and loves us wants to see us with lives that are full of unhealth and stress. The belief that God loves us means that we ought to be striving for a healthy life ourselves. And our care for ourselves should be in every aspect of who we are. You know, we go to church and we spend time in devotions to replenish our spirit. For our physical bodies, we should exercise, eat well, rest. I think this is so crazy and just something I want you to think about. Like, God wants you to rest. God wants you to rest. God made a whole day for it. That's what the Sabbath is all about. And God gives us a day to rest because he wants us to be refilled and recharged. And rest is so important that the God who never tires, who never grows weary, took a day to rest to show us what a good work and relaxation pattern looks like. You know, for our emotions, we can, emotional health, we can pursue hobbies and interests that we enjoy. We can go on walks, read, garden. We pursue those things that emotionally refill us. And to become relationally healthy, we can spend time with each other. You know, we're so much better when we come together as a community, when we laugh and cry together. You know, because God cares for you, you really should care for yourself and take that time to replenish and re-nourish yourself, to become the healthiest version of yourself that you can be. And here's what's so cool. When we care for ourselves, we ultimately become the biggest blessing for others. You see, what's in our lives pours out into the lives of others. What we're filled with, we're ultimately going to give other people. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to move over here. It wouldn't be one of my sermons without a visual demonstration here. So let's say this cup right here is you, right? And then over here we have, these cups are going to represent all the people you interact with in your lives. We got your family, we got your friends, we got your coworkers. And, you know, what is in your life when you interact with other people is what you're going to give them. So some of us, quite frankly, we don't have anything in in our lives right now. We've been so busy, we've been so stressed out that we haven't really filled ourselves with anything. And look, I get it. We all have those busy seasons in life, but I think we got to ask ourselves, is what we're doing a season or is it life? Because you might have been filled up on some amazing things, but if you're not spending time to recharge yourself, then ultimately you're going to have nothing to give other people. Some of us have been filling our lives with anxieties, with stresses. You know, we think it's all up to us, that we got to take care of everything. We're rushing from this thing to that thing. And when we fill our lives up with anxiety and stress, guess what we're going to give to other people when we interact with them? We give them stress. We give them anxiety. We give them all those negative things and all the unhealth that we have in our own lives. And we hurt those around us. But the good news is that there's a better way to live. So we're going to put this anxiety and stress back over here. And the better way to live, ultimately, is by filling our lives up with something good, something positive. Spending the time to fill our lives up with God, with health, with love, with peace, with joy. And what's so cool is that when we fill our lives up with these positive things, then these are the positive things that we're going to give to other people. We give other people our love because we have love to give. We give other people our joy because that's what we have in our lives. And we give other people health and God because that's what we've been filling ourselves up with. And then when we're running a little bit low, we go back to the source and we get more so we can constantly be giving the people around us the good things in our lives. So this year, what I would encourage you all to do, your resolutions to make, is resolve to see yourself as God sees you, as someone who is special and loved. And when you see yourself like that, then ultimately you can go out in the world and make other people feel special and make other people feel loved. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and Creator, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you that we all can come together and worship you. God, we just ask that as we go into 2021, that we would always just find time to be able to recharge ourselves, renew ourselves, to always keep coming back to you, who is the source of all good things. And God, as we find that inner peace and strength and all those things that you have given us, let us go out and give those things to other people. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
just thank you so much for your faithfulness this morning, your great unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you do want good things for us. You do want us to be well, and you encourage us to do that and to live lives full of your love and full of your presence so we can pour it out onto others. Lord, we just thank you again for this great morning that you've given us. We look to you again in hope for this new year, and we just say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for blessing us. I pray you would bless this church this morning as they go out and walk with you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us this morning. It's wonderful to see you all. May the Lord bless you this week, and we will see you next Sunday.